Greetings, this is Amy Showalter with the Engagement Edge for September 2023. I'm going to share with you the story behind an Amyism, an early Amyism, Amyism 21, about volunteer recognition. Who you spend time with speaks volumes about who you value. Show me the grassroots or pack leader who ignores or slights their volunteers in public, and I'll start drawing white chalk lines around that program. Now, I wrote this Amyism based on a couple experiences. Number one, I was speaking at a public affairs conference meeting, and I asked the audience, let me see a show of hands. How many of you have talked voice-to-voice to one of your volunteer advocates or PAC leaders in the last week? One person out of 50 raised their hand. I thought to myself, we must recalibrate this question. Okay, let me see a show of hands. How many of you have spoken voice-to-voice to one of your volunteers in the past month? And four people out of 50 or so raised their hands. I'm thinking to myself, we have an issue here in the profession, and this may not end well for this session based on what I wanted to share with them. So that was one early warning that people didn't understand or appreciate or see the need for engaging personally with their advocates. And the reason this was disturbing to me is because I know that we as advocacy and PAC professionals preach to our audiences all the time. We preach to them about the importance of legislator relationships, the importance of donor contributor relationships and so forth, and how that can help spur PAC contributions. However, we weren't living it ourselves. We weren't walking our talk. Another example was a grassroots program leader who had recently been promoted to that position. Their predecessor moved to another area of the company. And I said, gosh, is your predecessor going to be coming to the annual volunteer celebration? And it's an opportunity for them to get together and share best practices and give awards and recognition and so forth. And she said, oh no. She said he dreaded that meeting every year. He said he's so glad he doesn't have to attend this year. So that was a signal to me as well. Only a focus group of one, you know, in that, but still it made me think about this issue a bit more. Then you contrast that with one of my most successful clients who is incredibly inclusive with people who disagree with him and the company's position on certain legislative issues. And I'm not talking the social issues necessarily. I'm talking about bottom line business issues. These people were very clear that they didn't think what the company was doing was right. So what does my client do? He decided to put them on an advisory committee for his PAC so that they could keep him apprised of kind of the employee sentiment on different things, because some of these people who were disagreeing were quite involved in other employee resource programs and groups. So I thought, well, there's hope. Okay, there's hope. Some people do get it, because we have to remember that the great communicators are not afraid to communicate face-to-face or voice-to-voice either. And I contend that the superior grassroots and PAC programs have leaders that are not simply great at creating Excel spreadsheets and writing social media posts and action alerts. They're really good at developing relationships and not just motivating people, but inspiring people. Inspiration is completely different. And maybe we'll address that in a future episode. So if you're finding that there's some apathy or lack of engagement or lack of motivation, people are ghosting you relative to your communications, you need to be honest with yourself. We all have blind spots, and ask yourself a few questions. How do you spend time at your PAC and grassroots events? Do you spend time and fundraisers? Do you spend time with your corporate executives, your association executives? Do you spend time with the legislators who might be in attendance at this event? Or do you spend time with your volunteer advocates and PAC leaders? Do you spend time with them, getting to know them, making sure other people understand what they've contributed to your program? Number two, do you intercede for your volunteers? Do you intercede for your volunteers? For example, I know of another grassroots volunteer who wanted to attend a Statehouse lobby day very desperately and was set to go, but the day prior, that person's manager said, "You can't do it. We need you here today. You'll have to cancel that trip to the Statehouse." However, the grassroots leader interceded for that volunteer by getting the person's manager on the phone, explaining to them the reason why they needed to attend the lobby day event. It didn't hurt that they also obtained the support and the vice president of the department on the speakerphone as well. But nevertheless, it showed how important it was to the organization that that volunteer leader was able to attend this event. And last, do you fight for them? Do you defend them? I've heard stories of, and I'm sure you've heard it and seen it, of lawmakers who are very dismissive of your advocates, who are rude to advocates because they might take a different position. And do you defend that volunteer to the legislator? Do you push back to the legislator on behalf of your volunteer, or do you take the legislator's side, or worse, do nothing about it and just let the volunteer think, well, that's how legislators act? I guess, you know, let's face it, that would not be a really motivating reason to continue being involved in a particular advocacy program. The bottom line, my friends, is you don't want to be behaving like the sentiment on this wine glass that says, "I'll always be there when I need you. I'll always be there when I need you." I saw that at a holiday market. It reminded me of so many things. And it reminded me of some people I know and probably people that you know as well. We all know who they are. Let's not be one of them. But sometimes that's how we behave with our advocates and PAC leaders. You know, when I need you, I'll let you know. That's not inspiring behavior. That's not motivating behavior. That's not leadership behavior. So let's make a resolution to be the kind of leaders who, when bad things are happening to our volunteers, that we are the ones who are standing there with the umbrella, letting everything roll on us, protecting them from what comes down, and being there when they need us. Because otherwise, we'll have to get the white chalk out and start drawing lines around your program. This is Amy with the Engagement Edge.